It truly is great to see all of the faces at one time in one place, right? It's been a while. We had our kickoff, if you will, last week to our new normal. Hopefully we will get back to the old normal. But someone also said that in the midst of this darkness, there has been some light. And one of those things is the technology that we now use, which enables people who are not able to be here to be here virtually. And so we're thankful for that. Our theme this year, not up there, but I'm pretty sure it's on the bulletin, is taken from Psalm 119, 105, as most of us in this congregation know, which reads, "Your lamp, your word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It tells us about the characteristic of the Word of God, and it gives us a visual on that, that it is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, to bring us down the road that we should be going, ultimately to our end destination. Several among us have spoken on the subject this year. Today will be a continuation of that. This year also, we read through this, Psalm 119, the longest of the Psalms, in our Sunday readings, and we finished it a short time ago. I happen to be assigned the next to the last segment in that reading. I think I prefaced that reading by putting everyone at ease that my assignment was to read 7 verses in that psalm and not the full 176 verses in that psalm. And I believe that I heard what I thought I heard just now, a collective sigh of relief after I made that statement. Today I have more good news for you. My sermon will involve only one verse from this psalm. Not that I will not reference other scriptures, but in Psalm 119, I will be speaking of verse 162 only. So you can turn to it now if you like. There's the collective sigh of relief, and we are good to go. Verse 162 was part of my assignment that short time ago when I read it publicly here. And as happens, it struck a very strong chord with me. This is those wonderful things we talk about Scripture. And we have stated it many times. That is, each time we come to it, even if we have visited a particular Scripture many times, there is the potential for that newness of insight to come to us, as perhaps it never has before. So it was with this verse. So let's begin with the first part of the verse. I know it's only one verse, but you're going to break it up? Yes, I am. So, we start with the first part. "I rejoice at your word," the psalmist says. When I read this, my first thought was of the attitude of heart being stated. Rejoice means to feel or show great joy or delight. And the psalmist is saying, "I rejoice. I feel great delight at your word." As I looked for a comparison in my own mind, my mind went right away to thoughts of love. I went back to thoughts of my own experience, how simply hearing the voice of my then girlfriend, fiance, which all happened in a matter of months, would have this impact on me. My heart would leap. I would certainly rejoice over it, over hearing her voice. I would look forward to the time we would spend together in each other's company. So much so that even if before my afternoon shift, the opportunity presented itself to spend even the smallest amount of time together, I would battle New York City traffic to get to her place just long enough to present her with a rose at the door, catch a kiss, and then battle the rest of New York City traffic in the opposite direction all the way to New Jersey where I worked. And they said it would last. In my mind, I was thinking of the 1970s songs, The Things We Do for Love, indeed. I remembered also as a young man in the service, toward the end of my enlistment, I began to read the Bible on my own. I would take part of my lunch break and go to the chapel on base where they had Bibles, not having my own at that time, and would continue to read through the portion of the New Testament that I was reading. I was finding out all these new things, exciting things, new treasures, and I would wait with anticipation for the next reading session. My heart would leap at the thought of what the next reading session would reveal. Moreover, I was thrilled that I was reading God's Word, as if God Himself wrote this down, not for mankind, which of course He did, but that He wrote it down for me to discover. Indeed, both are true. Now, let's go to the second part of the verse. I rejoice at your word, first part of the verse, like one who finds great spoil. If your mind immediately ran to thoughts of the refrigerator, you're thinking of the wrong kind of spoil here. This qualifies the type of rejoicing that we should or would have over God's word. In those days, there were many battles, and it was winner take all. There was no nation building. If you won the battle, what was left in the tents or the city was yours. It was called spoil. You can imagine, if you won the battle and were unharmed, the rejoicing you might be doing at a time like that. Here the psalmist is saying that he rejoices at God's word just like that, like one who would find great spoil, great treasure. The reward here, though, is not a material reward, but a spiritual one. But it is related to an earthly one, so we can compare them as much as comparison will allow. Jesus uses a similar analogy in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, where he says, "The kingdom of God is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his what? Joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Look where his rejoicing led him. Look what it led him to do. Look at his heart, his outlook, his attitude, his end goal. For Americans, if one was to strike up a conversation about the gold rush, I would imagine most people's minds would immediately, pardon the pun, rush to thoughts of California. I know I am not telling those who are from this area anything new, but there are a number of others who, like me, are not from this area and may not know. I say it for their sakes. But a full 50 years prior to that, the first gold rush in the United States was actually right here in North Carolina. In 1799, a, wait for it please, 17-pound gold nugget was found in Carrabas County, one county away. The first documented discovery of gold in the United States. Shortly thereafter, kicking off the first gold rush in the United States. 17 pounds. Can you imagine? I mean, do you even call that a nugget? It's more like a brick. I didn't even know such a thing existed. It is not coincidental that right here in Union County, only one county removed from Carrabas, as I said, that we still have roads named Gold Mine Road, Howie Mine Road, all reminders of that time. But imagine if when the person who found that 17-pound gold nugget, instead of fishing it out of the creek, said to their neighbor, "Don't you just love the way it makes the creek glisten? I'm just going to leave it right where it is." Now, who among us would not call that a ridiculous course of action? Yet, we ourselves correctly critique others who have said things like, "Don't you think the Bible is a great accent on my coffee table?" It is the same attitude. It is the wrong one. It misses the mark, treating the Bible as ornamentation, not the living and active word that it is. So then, if that spark has departed from us, if that joy and that rejoicing over God's word has left us, how do we get it back? I remember when I read these words at home in preparation for the public reading I was to do, that these words hit me with a full impact. And I applied some of the analogies to myself that I have shared with you today. And I held up the mirror and asked myself in that quiet moment, as only one can ask oneself, is that my attitude? Is that how I look at God's word? Do I fly to the word of God as if I were swooping down upon some great spoil, some great treasure? I know there are times in my life I have done just that, as I said earlier. But likely, some of that vibrancy, some of that spark had diminished somewhat. But here was a reminder how pleasant they can be. Another great aspect of the Word of God, a reminder of who we serve, the road we are on, our final destination, if in fact it actually means that much to us. The words of Jesus prove true once more again from Matthew, this time chapter 6, verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And do we perceive God's word that way, as the treasure it actually is? Jesus is simply stating fact. He is simply stating reality, as he always did. If it means that much, it will show. If it doesn't, it will also show. And so I tried to apply it to myself, as Ed likes to say when we are presented with a spiritual challenge or admonishment, "Now what?" So I tried to internalize those words from that one verse. Be amazed at how easier things can be if you concentrate on only one verse. I literally would try to approach my Bible daily as I would a 17-pound gold nugget sitting on my counter, with all that would go with it, the anticipation, the joy, the rejoicing. And it continues to be a work in progress. But at least it is in progress, which denotes, well, progress. How can being here, or being here virtually via the technology, help us with this? I remember as I pre-read the verses and then read them publicly, it dawned on me that if I had not been here for that assignment, that I likely would not have read that or been exposed to it, and I would have been the poorer for it. And you would have heard a different sermon today. We derive many benefits from being here and the words of encouragement and admonishment that we receive when we are here, when we are exposed to them. I think of the beautiful prayers we hear from our brother Bill, who in those prayers admonishes us to read our Bibles daily. Thank you for those prayers, Bill. After I compiled this lesson, I thought of a spin on an old adage. Get ready for it. A 17-pound gold nugget a day keeps Satan away. I can see my family groaning already. But boy, will it ever. I think of what David provides for us every week in the bulletin. And every chance I get, I thank him for that. Usually I think it's in the lower right-hand corner of, thank you, got that right, of the bulletin. And you can cut it out, like I do, and go through our congregational reading plan. There it is. For your reading treasure, your reading pleasure. You'll notice it is one chapter a day, 5 days a week. You even get the weekends off. And if you have been following faithfully, it is now the end of June. We who have been reading are halfway through the reading of the New Testament. If we continue following faithfully and to the end of the year, we will have read the entire New Testament. We are members of the New Covenant. How familiar should we be with the words of the New Covenant, the covenant that we belong to? And there it is. We have the opportunity to be able to read through that entire new covenant this year. Think of it as your own personal platinum mine dropped into your lap. And thank you, David, for that. I always wanted my own personal platinum mine. Of course, as we come into contact with God's word, our treasure, there will be things that challenge us, even accuse us, as Paul states in Romans 2:15. It's not all roses. Here again, we must be aware of the lowly nature that dwells close to our elbow at all times, that we are rebellious creatures and need a full concentration of will to bring us away from that. The Word of God will seek to instruct us in a way many times that can be counter to our own inclinations. And we can, because of that, harden ourselves to it rather than be supple and allow it to mold us. Recently in the news, I have seen examples of proud Americans, I know you have also, full of the knowledge of their own liberties, especially when they perceive them as being threatened, and the truth is that does not take much, purposefully going against some law that has been decreed. Specifically, I have seen this when it comes to something like wearing a mask, as benign as that might seem. The fact is, like our fellow worldly human beings, we many times do not like to be told what to do. Chalk it up to our God-endowed free will. Yet, this can be a great detriment to any spiritual gains we hope to make, because the Word of God is loaded with all kinds of instruction we may recoil against, even if it is ultimately for our own good, and with God's Word, it always is. It is not the problem. We are. What I will leave us with today is The closer we come to God's word with the right attitude and the right outlook, the better we position ourselves and the better the outcome. Opening ourselves to the positive impact that it can have upon us, the positive change it can bring about in us. Let us determine to run to our treasure daily and rejoice over the 17-pound spiritual gold nugget that is sitting on our counter, wherever it is sitting in your home.